Yeah, less than 12 hours away from Game 3 at Footprint Center. Suns trying to get on the board against the T-Wolves, down 0-2. Here to talk about it with us, he's covering the series for ESPN.com. ESPN senior writer Baxter Holmes joins us on the Arizona Sports Line. Baxter, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A lot in the first two games that the Suns have put out there in this series has led people to wonder about the vibe, the connectivity, the communication, the togetherness, however you want to phrase it. What are your observations on the vibe that the Suns have right now at this point of the series, Baxter?
I would say, as the kids say, that the vibes are not good. Look, the Timberwolves had played very aggressively and very physically. You know, they have the league's best defense. They have some excellent perimeter defenders, especially in Jaden McDaniels. And, you know, inside, obviously, they have Rudy Gobert. And they really put a lot of pressure on the Suns, on their big three. You know, if they've gotten past them, it's, you know, they've had to deal with Gobert or Towns. So it's been clear to see throughout the first two games that, as you know, when the Suns have missed shots, or you know, if they've turned the ball over, or things haven't gone their way, they've crumbled a bit, and it's been hard for them to kind of bounce back from that. And that's been a big talking point around the team the last couple days. But they know that the Timberwolves are not going to ease up. They're not going to like start playing less physically or less aggressively. I mean, obviously, look, it's two games, the Wolves protected home court, but, you know, if you're watching the Suns right now and how they've kind of responded, and what's been a hostile environment, the crowd's been amazing in Minnesota the last two games. I would say that the vibes are not great right now for Phoenix.
Yeah, and the word legacy is often used in conjunction with NBA superstars. You've got a really interesting piece on Kevin Durant online at ESPN.com, talking and detailing his journey back from the playoff and that gruesome injury he suffered in Golden State. What kind of legacy points are on the line for Kevin Durant?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look, the first thing I'd say is that the fact that he ever came back from that and is, you know, the player that he is, I think is pretty remarkable. You know, that being said, look, everybody always wondered after Golden State, what, you know, would Kevin Durant ever kind of be in championship contention again? Would he ever be at this level again? But not only as a player, but just being in position. In Brooklyn, it didn't work out. Phoenix, being aligned with Beal and Booker, the expectations were high. I mean, you guys know well, like, there were even dreams and aspirations of a championship coming into this year. It's not certainly all on Kevin, but I think that, you know, look, I have friends who are big-time Golden State fans, and the longer that Kevin goes without being kind of in a position for another title run, the more that they'll say, oh, you know, he never should have left. That's kind of revisionist history in a way, and, you know, who knows what could have happened. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that people monitor closely, and the season's been a disappointment, you know, thus far. Make no mistake.
Baxter Holmes has a new piece on Kevin Durant on ESPN.com. He's covering the series for ESPN.com, and he joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Going back to the previous question about vibe, and maybe it moves past that, and you talked about Minnesota's aggressive nature in the first two games of this series and how it won't let up. The Suns have looked befuddled by what Minnesota's throwing out there defensively. Frank Vogel has talked in this series a couple of times now about, hey, this is our first run together in the playoffs. But individually, this is such a seasoned playoff team. That being said, how surprised are you, Baxter, as an observer and covering this series, that the Suns have looked so discombobulated?
It's been surprising. Now, you know, one of the things that Frank has pointed out is, you know, the kind of the inconsistency of the availability of these guys. It's their first season together. There have been, as you guys well know, they've been in and out of the lineup a lot. It's not like they have a ton of experience playing together. And I know that they have been very kind of seasoned individuals, you know, like separately. But collectively, it's fairly new. And, you know, one of the things I think for them, it's been a learning curve a bit all season, along with, like, you know, who's playing. But it's how do you defer to each other? Who is, you know, the kind of the right player in this moment? It's a thing that super teams, frankly, with a lot of stars, have all had to grapple with, you know, dating back several years. And some of them have worked, some of them haven't. If you talk to coaches and executives around the league, they will very quickly point out that just putting talent on the team does not make that team go necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like all the pieces have to fit together. And it's been challenging, I think, for the Suns to make those talented pieces fit along with everything else. And just the availability in the lineup and whatnot. And that's played out so far this series. But I'll be very interested to see how they respond tonight. You know, they got punched in the mouth the first two games, really wilted in game two. That was a close game. And then the second half, you know, the Timberwolves started to go their way a little bit, and all of a sudden they're up 19, and Phoenix just fell apart. So it's going to be a pivotal game tonight.
Yeah, you're not kidding about that. And the embracing of the physicality and then dishing it back to the opponent, it's something this team is not, obviously, it's not their normal state of being. And I wonder if they're going to be able to get that way, especially at a time when the refs aren't calling a whole lot. But this actually began after the All-Star break. Do you think the NBA is trying to kind of phase some free throw shooting out of this game? Maybe quicken up the pace of these games, maybe taking a page out of the baseball playbook?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, this has been a big thing that has been talked about. My colleagues at ESPN have covered this quite a bit. And you've seen some comments after games where people are like, wow, they're just not, you know, maybe he's calling as much. And they're kind of letting them play a little bit. And I've seen some rhetoric where people are like, I kind of like this. It reminds me of like the 90s a little bit where they're just, they're letting them play. They're letting them be physical with each other. They're not, you know, maybe calling it a ticky-tack foul like the players are kind of determining games. You know, Adam Silver has made comments about this and Joe Dumars and whatnot. And, yeah, the games were kind of bogged down, the scoring and, you know, all of it. There's just so much time at the free throw line. I will say that, you know, for any team that spends a lot of time just kind of arguing with the refs about calls, this is probably not the time to do that. If they've made it clear, and it's been clear really from the All-Star break on, that the refs are going to let things go more and they're going to let teams play more physically and it obviously ramps up during the playoffs, then you just have to play. You have to play, and you know, every second that you spend kind of arguing a call you think didn't go your way, the other team could potentially be pushing it for a fast break bucket.
No doubt.
They're trying to, you know, get you out of position before you have a chance to get your defense set. So yeah, it's going to be adjustment a little bit. What you're talking about hurt the Suns a lot in game two, you know, the points off turnovers and just seeing how the Suns kind of responded when calls weren't going their way. They talked about it a ton after the game. It's going to be important for the rest of the series going forward.
All right, finally, when you take a look at this, you mentioned super teams have an iffy record in the NBA. I've seen people say that this might be the real last dalliance with a team and an organization flirting with a super team. Given how teams are now into roster development, do you believe in that? Do you believe that these Suns might be a cautionary tale for teams that might want to try this in the future?
I think the cautionary tale kind of goes back maybe even to Brooklyn or, you know, these Suns are maybe another example. Obviously, the full story hasn't been written on them yet. But, yeah, I think it's been going on for a while. I mean, you can look at good examples, you know, the 2008, you know, the KG Celtics of that period. You can look at, obviously, the Warriors when they got Kevin Durant. But most of that, I really don't consider them that way because most of those guys were homegrown. But the Miami Heat, you know, the Heatles with LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Aside from that, it hasn't really, you know, like worked out. You know, and we've seen more teams, you know, whether it's a Denver, whether it's a Milwaukee. Now you look at Oklahoma City. They have kind of drafted and developed their way into being a contender. And I think that this is probably, you know, and Boston is there too. So I think that this is probably the path going forward. You know, you just get so much more time together with guys. They learn together, they grow together, they learn how to play with each other, they have more time and experience in a system. That's not to say that this model, you know, couldn't be impactful down the road, but I feel like this fad has kind of passed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I know? Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the other model has been working enough that it's just not that's the path teams will go. It's a copycat league, as you know.
Yeah, Baxter, thanks so much for the time and the insight. We appreciate it.